thanks for hitting play. Happy New Year. Can you still say that? Can we still say that? Happy New Year. It's been over a week, but I feel like the sentiment is still strong, still true. My name is Matt. For those of you who don't know me or are new here, this is a podcast where I share audio content that hopefully will inspire you to learn more about yourself. It's also a playground for my imagination, as was made clear by the fact that last week I decided to put a song out on the podcast rather than, I don't know, a meditation or a conversation like this week. I'm really excited to see where this sort of goes in the new year. I've been doing a lot of self-reflection and just kind of preparation for the next 3 months. I'm trying to focus my goals on 3 months rather than a year-long thing, because that can kind of seem daunting and overwhelming, at least to me. So 3 months seems a little bit more feasible, and I'm going to continue to share conversations like this on the podcast because it gives me an opportunity to sit down with people that I love and like have really deep, meaningful conversations. And I just think, I really like listening back to this conversation that you're about to hear with Melanie. I was blown away. Like, I didn't realize how jam-packed it was with like juicy, juicy, juicy tidbits of useful life information, I guess. She's a DJ / choreographer, as well as a dancer, obviously. Her background is in theater, but she moved to LA sort of with no prospects, with no idea of really what she was doing. And I remember a few years ago when she decided that she wanted to like be a DJ kind of out of nowhere. And it's just been amazing to watch her evolve and grow. And I was so grateful that she schlepped out to Brooklyn to sit down and have this conversation with me, because we hadn't seen each other in a long time. So this was also like a chance for us to catch up. I love her and I love this conversation. It made a lot of the things that I'm thinking about and considering make sense, because we had this conversation probably a month ago, just about now. And I've had so much reevaluation in that time in terms of what my priorities are personally, that I didn't realize how much that was connected to this conversation, and it really deeply is. So I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. I'm going to get out of the way. But I hope you're having a great start to your new year, and I hope that you have sort of you used the new year as a time of reflection. I find that it inherently does that for me, but any opportunity that I have to like self-reflect, you know, I'm taking advantage of. So I hope you did too. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are. Whenever you're listening to this, you are exactly where you're supposed to be right now. I just want you to know that. And that's all I got for you. I got a lot of love for you as well. But in terms of things I'm going to say, this is the end. So enjoy this conversation with Melanie Wildman, a.k.a. Penny Wild. Yeah, I don't have Instagram right now. That's
crazy. I feel like I sort of participate in that, in the sense where I started tailoring my Instagram for like merely professional sort of business. But I,
what does that mean?
Like I sort of have only used my Instagram structurally for work things. Like I've kind of stopped using it like in a social way or like a personal way. And that's not true. I just made another Instagram account that was private that I like can do food pics and selfies.
And that's for
you.
But
I don't do food pics and selfies on the other one.
No, because the other one is for...
It's the other one is my resume. Because even today, like I was sending out...
It's your website.
It is my website. I was sending out like options for dancers for a music video job that I'm choreographing. And they were like, okay, well, obviously send me the dancer specs so that we can get the clearance from the label, like headshot resume. It's like, I'm actually just going to link you to their Instagram because you can see everything you need there. And
you can see
also
dance. And
you can see dance. You can see personality. You can see like, do you have any friends in common? You can see if the artist follows that dancer.
That's so
you can
interesting.
See, I mean, it's just a one-stop shop. And then he was like, oh yeah, great.
So that's how you started to think about your...
Well, I said, well, what if someone does the same for me and sends my Instagram and it's like food pics and selfies? Not that there's anything wrong with that. No. I love that. But, you know, you're selling yourself. So we don't have the freedom on the grid to paint it with like aesthetic vibes. We kind of have to keep it like to the point.
Really? You feel like it's stronger to go away from, at least for a professional. I guess it depends on what the job is, but I would think that if you were like, oh, I'm doing this for work, you'd be so in tune about the aesthetic and you'd be like, I have to make sure it looks seamless and make sure it looks clean.
I think that it's more important to showcase the work that you're most proud of over showcasing like a color scheme and like a continuity, because I think that just dates back to like Tumblr sort of anal, like neurotic, my page has to look perfect. I've never like submitted someone for a job and ever even looked at their coloring or like their patterns with the videos versus the photos or the bundles never. Or the whatever. No, I'm just like, I want to see their best work.
And that's what you expect is there.
Yeah. That's and it's really also it's too competitive now to not do that. Like I can't help but think about dancers when I talk about this because...
Yeah, it's such a unique... Yeah.
They almost, dancers get the most out of social media out of any sort of artist, I believe. I mean, really? That's a pretty bold statement.
That's a pretty bold statement.
But I really do believe that because it's a visual platform. It's completely, like all of the music facets are completely like embedded. You can literally like in natively embed a music thing. You can like overdub music on the go.
Yeah, TikTok and all that stuff.
Right, but even just Instagram stories.
Yeah.
I always thought that people like taking a video of a sunset, those are the people who get the most out of that feature, like adding a Spotify link direct. But it's actually dancers, and I didn't realize that dancers were like dancing to that and then overdubbing it and timing it perfectly, scrubbing the needle to get it to like match with their sequence.
Oh.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's where it is.
And it helps the artist too.
And it helps the artist. I mean, that's what I've mostly been working on these days is these like digital dancer social media campaigns where the label will just give me like an overhead budget to find influencers to dance to their music. And we plan it so that it seems as organic as possible. Like no hashtag ad, no swipe up to listen to the song. It's just like, had so much fun yesterday improvising to this song. Isn't it dope? Like go look at it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's what I've been doing like primarily.
So you're doing influencer marketing essentially.
Yeah.
But you're not choreographing.
Sometimes I will choreograph it if it's clearly, if the label or the artist is into the idea of it being like a put on presentational ad, because it doesn't seem organic if it's a choreographed piece.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I've been teaching these sponsored dance classes and that's quite the opposite. That's been the label coming to this third party, for an example, Dance On is the one that I've been working with a lot, and they will give them like a big folder of Dropbox songs that are going to be released, and they're like, if you can get a dancer to create this, we'll give you this budget. And then Dance On shares that budget with me so that I can provide a free dance class but still get paid at like a nice premium rate to teach.
Wow.
But I'm not choosing the songs, but it looks like I'm choosing the song because nowhere do I reveal this is a song that I was asked to create, and it's no secret. Like, I can say that here obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I think
that's so interesting.
Yeah.
You didn't know. It's just, I think about you like 2-3 years ago and like, did this kind of thing even exist then?
I don't think it was because you kind of really grew fleshed out it.
You
kind of
grew
yet.
Into it with it. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of developed, I feel like, as you've been a part of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how rapid like the industry is changing with technology. People are just taking more advantage of free social media. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I say that dancers get the most out of Instagram too, because I see them getting the best deals. I see them getting paid the most. It's
and you
crazy.
Know what I was going to say? I don't know if this existed for dancers before in the same way that like, you know, musicians, they could put out music and release music, but dancers, the only way you were really seeing dancers was live.
Right. And now they're like television. Putting out their own versions of mixtapes and their own versions of EPs That's and LPs right. and albums. And it's cool. It's like a cool metaphor to see someone release a project like a dance film.
Yeah. I mean, I know that was something I was super into. Like, you know, there were people, dancers.
Oh my gosh, right.
Ian Eastwood. I forgot that you were really into that. Oh my God. I was like, what? This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
And that's definitely been replicated a ton.
Of course. And shifted and altered.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in production yet, but I am releasing like a 5-track EP at the top of the year. And, you know, I don't have the budget in the works yet for this, but my idea behind it has always been to release pairing visuals with each song.
Yeah.
And I think I can definitely make that happen. It's not going to be like Lemonade or like Dirty Computer, Janelle's Monáe's like, you know, movie.
Yeah.
But I think I can definitely pull off like creating snippets to each of each song.
So we've known each other for 7 years.
Oh my gosh.
Is that true?
Because
I've been out of school for four and a half.
8 years. 8 years because I met you when I was 17.
Oh my God.
8 years.
Okay, so
Whoa.
8 years. And I guess what's so interesting to me is that like the person you were when I met you is, I mean, I guess for me too, but thinking about what you're doing now, like you were not doing any of, I mean, you were dancing, but like you were not, had you even like begun contemplating the idea of like DJing or like music at all at that time?
Not at all. No, not at all. I always knew, I remember this floating idea sort of always bouncing back and forth in my like psyche. Oh, I really love music so much. It's a shame that I'm not more involved. And then I remember being like, what could I do with music? Oh, maybe I could play the drums, or like maybe I could start playing guitar, or maybe I can start like making playlists. And I sort of did scratch the surface in college where like I would always make the playlists. In my high school, I remember creating the soundtrack to like all of our dance warmups. Like the teacher let me do it.
Yeah.
So it was like in there somewhere, but it wasn't, it hadn't like bubbled up to the surface quite yet. I couldn't figure out a game plan.
And when did it? And then how did you come up with a game plan? Well, you left school.
It sort of all happened in tandem. When I was at a music festival in California, I was out in California because I was doing like a parody comedy show. This project that gave me my equity card. I went all the way to LA because I had to go all the way to LA to get my equity card. But I was like, why not? I love Los Angeles. I have family there. The pay is good.
But you weren't in school at the time.
It was summer.
It was summer.
Mm-hmm. So it was perfect. And I was out in LA and I like got wrapped up with this social crew and they were awesome. Like met them sort of through other theater friends. But they had like brought in their horizons socially and sort of like artistically with what they sort of like to entertain themselves with. So we went to this music festival and I had never been to I had been to one concert prior to then. I had been to David Guetta, and that's not even a concert. It was a rave in Berlin when I was on tour.
You had never been to a concert?
I know. My first concert, I was 18 years old.
Not like
it's
insane. You didn't go see anybody.
I like never saw the Backstreet Boys. I never saw like John Mayer. I never saw Dave Matthews Band.
All right. Okay.
I was always seeing like Broadway shows. So
oh my God.
That's
right.
What I,
so that's what, okay. So that's the, when you'd had that
so
experience.
So I was like, how have I not? Yeah. So I didn't grow up being like, I want to be on that stage.
So what was your reaction?
I was like, it felt like when I saw my first Broadway show.
Right.
And I'm just realizing that now, but it was more overwhelming because
oh my God.
I was older and more intellectual and a little bit more at one with my goals and with my like wants. And I saw one specific artist perform. She was like one of the only females on the lineup. And she definitely erred on the side of like DJ producer rather than like singer songwriter, which I didn't even really know the difference between things. Like when someone would say, oh, I love the production on that song. I didn't even really like think about what that meant.
Yeah.
So when I saw Grimes is the name of the artist, when I saw her perform, I like completely had like a epiphany. And then the next morning, not an exaggeration, I was staying with my friend Emmy at the time. And we always joke, I was just at her wedding and we made this joke that I like decided to drop out of school while me and Emmy were like having breakfast because I was telling her about the concert, the music festival. And then I went on her laptop and I like dropped out of my classes.
You had such a visceral experience.
I know. It was like,
that you said,
I was possessed.
That's what I got to do.
And then when I had to call my parents and tell them that, I was like, you're going to want to sit down for this. And they were definitely really supportive. They just financially couldn't continue to support me. They were like, we'll completely support your decision to drop out of school. You've been working anyway. Like, we've seen this coming, but now you want to be a DJ and that's a little disorienting. So like, if you can pay your way, go for it. And I was like, I'm going to pay my way and I'm going to move back here to LA once I have enough money. So then I went back home, did some theater for a while, like continued to do that train while I was trying to like buy time, learn how to DJ and like come up with a game plan. Yeah. And that's when I met Todrick and then I moved to LA with him.
Yeah. I mean, this, this Todrick experience, I like, I had honestly forgotten about it until you were just talking then. And I was like, oh my God, that this chapter.
It was truly a chapter.
I want to hear you talk on it because I've talked to a couple of different people about experiences, not exactly the same, but just in the sense of all having going from 0 to 100 in terms of the exposure of like what it really is behind the scenes, right? Because a lot of the entertainment industry is, it's all a facade. I mean, it is, we're only seeing what is being projected at us. You're not seeing the whole story.
Totally.
And so when you see the other side, even when it's like, for instance, like you're dating someone who's in the industry, in another industry, you get exposure to it in a way that's totally different. And Todrick is someone who not only is like in pop culture, but also is in like, it's internet culture.
Oh yeah. He's got his finger on the pulse for sure.
So how did that come about?
So the long story short is we both were cast in this production of Cats, like a regional production of Cats in Texas. And when I found out he was going to be in the production, I was super stoked. I had heard his name and I knew that I liked his work, but I didn't really dive into like his whole anthology. So then when I found out we were going to be working together, I like went in and then I was like, oh my gosh, he's actually like one of my idols now, you know? And then it created this distance because I sort of met him and immediately had the intentions of like dropping everything and just like working with him. I initially wanted to dance for him. I was like, I want him to hire me to be
a dancer. So the first thought was, I can dance. I'm a dancer.
And I have to like outdo all of the other people in this cast so that he notices me and like somehow decides to like work with me forever. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, what about, so, and I never formally really like pitched anything. Actually, I ended up sending him like a really formal email, but basically I just tried to really jive with him personality wise and it clicked immediately. Like, our humors really collide. So off the bat, he started like inviting me to lunch and stuff. And he could tell that I was really thirsty for his attention. And I think that he sort of admired the like
hustle,
Yeah. Of it all. And it was an unspoken thing. He's like, she's like a little thirsty, but you know, I can invite her for a burger. Cause like, she's not going to be too much type of thing. And then when the contract was over, he mentioned something like really brief in passing, like, oh, it's a shame you don't live in LA. Like, you know, like I'd just hire you. And I was like, I'm actually thinking about moving to LA. It's funny that you say that. It's sort of the number one thing on my priority list. He was like, well, why don't you come work for me? Then like, I didn't hear from him for a couple weeks. I was waiting for it to happen organically. Then I sent an email to his assistant being like, hey, I wrote this little like 2-page essay that I want Todrick to read. Do you think he has time? He was like, sure, send it over. So I basically just, it was like a persuasive, like why you need me to be your assistant. And I decided to pitch being his assistant so that I could A, DJ for him, B, choreograph for him, C, dance for him, and D, also like produce work for him.
And just see that whole side.
I just wanted to like get involved in every way that I could. And I wanted to convince him that like I was a one-stop shop and he could just pay me one thing to like do everything for him. So he basically called me and was like, yeah, I'm looking to hire more people on my team. And there's a room opening up in my house. So if you can get yourself to LA, I will pay your rent. And you probably won't pay for food because we always have food in the house. And like, I'll get you set up in the Scooter Braun portal and you'll get paid direct deposit through my manager. And all of this was just sounding so crazy to me. I was like, this worked. I pulled this off. So then next thing you know, I had a ticket to like a one-way ticket to LA and I went, I moved in and thus began the like, I think it ended up being four months working side by side with him. And it was a like I've probably never worked harder.
Really?
Than I did in those 4 months.
I remember hearing those, you guys were, you grind.
It was insane. It was insane. I mean,
the turnover is just
truly
crazy.
Hats off to his longtime assistant, Chester, who I don't believe officially works for him anymore because Chadrick's sort of doing like a lot of theater stuff now. And I think it more caters itself to not having an assistant just for the time being. But I learned so much from Chester assisting Chadrick.
Really?
And there were all of these crazy projects in the work that it was such a creative job. Very rarely was it like picking up SD cards or like dropping off footage or going to Michael's to get crafts.
Because they had other people doing that.
Yeah, he just had like a whole squad. He had a personal assistant as well. And he had a manager. You know, he had a lot of people on a team. It was a big team. And he had just gotten off of literally immediately before had just wrapped filming this reality TV show about his life. So like he had a lot of things in order.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of creative stuff. It was a lot of like writing sessions in his room all night, thinking about the plot for like his visual album or writing a song for like a Target ad that he got hired to do. So I was completely winging everything. Like I had never written music before. I was just...
Would you call yourself an experienced DJ at the time?
No. I thought I was.
Really?
I like graduated from my little 3-month program
in New York that you had taken.
Yeah. And I had played like a couple of gigs and I knew deep down that I wasn't like that good, but I did know that I picked it up faster than anyone else in the class and that like it was something that I did have a talent for. I just knew that I had to put more time in. I didn't end up DJing for Chadrick that much. I more so choreographed and danced for him.
And I definitely think the musical theater has played into, and the dancing helped your DJing for sure.
Absolutely. Even just with rhythm.
Yeah, all that stuff. And I guess on the back end of that Chadrick thing, you left feeling like what did you feel like you wanted to be doing next?
I was really happy with the type of work that we were doing, and I felt very satisfied, but I was getting so inspired creatively that I was bummed about using all those ideas for someone else's project. Ooh. And it's not that I didn't want him to be the best version of him that he could be. And it's also not that I didn't feel like his ideas were much better than mine, because they were.
No, but you wanted to be the best version of you.
But I was like, shit, I wish I could apply these to my work. Or like, damn, I wish I wasn't going to be in Florida tomorrow with Chadrick so that I could play this DJ gig at this bar in LA that I just met the owner of. Or like, oh no, all my friends are going to Miami Music Week and I can't go because we're performing in like Idaho with Chadrick. And that was when I started prioritizing music over like dancing and theater and performance. I just knew that I wanted to start producing my own work in the same sense that he was, maybe on a smaller scale, but I just wanted to work for myself. And so we came to a mutual agreement that he initiated. It's probably best that we like go our separate ways because I need someone who's like really excited about my project. And after 4 months, you know, long hours, no social life.
I just
decided that he was right. Like his initiation of like, hey, maybe you're not the best assistant for me was something that I was really like bummed about at first, because I technically was let go. But literally as soon as 2 days later, I was like, this had to be done. And the famous like line that I always think to myself is like, he said to me, well, it's nothing personal. It's just like, you can't be my assistant because you need an assistant. That's what he said. And I kind of laughed through like a frown and said, you're right.
And he was right. I mean, because the truth is like you had really high expectations for yourself. You know, there were things that you wanted to be doing and accomplishing that you didn't even have. You didn't have time to do.
It was so overwhelming how ahead of the game he was, like that from everyone. Like
really?
He just in general is so much faster and better at doing things than most people.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, shit, if I don't start now, I'm never going to make it to where he is. And I knew I had a long way to go, and I still have a way long way to go to reach like the efficiency level that he's at.
Yeah.
Because he's on another level. but I feel so good in my heart about the fact that like I'm working for me now. Cause you really have to. You have to work for you in a sense, even if it's working for someone else. It's like at a company. You mm-hmm. still gotta do like what your job is.
And what makes you feel good.
Right. And what makes you feel good.
If you wake up and you don't feel good about what you're doing, that's a pretty shitty feeling.
Yeah.
I think.
It yeah, definitely is.
Yeah. I you know, that's why I'm working, that's why I work for myself now.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
It's the same thing. Like,
it's like freelancing is so hard. The only reason we would do it is because we love what we do, and that's what's great. Yeah. And I mean, I have a nothing but respect for that guy. Holy shit, Todrick, he's like insane. He's sort of like the definition of like work for yourself.
Truly.
So super grateful for the time that I had with him. Definitely.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, he is someone that has truly made carved his own path, and through his own sheer will and work and hustle has like built his own thing.
Mm.
No one handed him any.
Oh my God. It's remarkable.
Yeah. So I guess my question is like, how did you then apply that to, cause LA is fucking tough, man. I mean, New York's tough too, but from what I've heard, LA is
every time
really
I come back
town.
Here, I'm like reminded how hard it is here. I have a meltdown every day. I have a panic attack like every day when I'm in the city, and it's my favorite city ever. But yeah, it's so hard here.
It's a little tumult, too much tumult.
Yes. Oh my God. Exactly. Oh, you got vault. But but no, LA is really hard in different reasons that New York is hard. You know, it's a lot easier climate wise. It's a lot easier living situation. It's a lot easier travel situation. But it's really isolating, and it's also very unforgiving, like
in what
professionally.
Way?
If you don't go to LA like with your shit together or like someone believing in you, you'll spend a lot of time like knocking on closed doors. And that might be a closed-minded thing to say, but I've just seen it too much to not believe that. I think that in certain ways, LA has a lot to offer for like the newcomer. And I think specifically for music, because my experience being like a brand new fresh faced green DJ in LA couldn't have gone more ideally.
Really?
Like I just somehow accidentally met a group of people that were so generous with their connections and so generous with their time. So many different types of people too. We call it like a sorority or like a fraternity, or it feels like college because it's a huge community there.
Yeah.
And they just...
The DJ community.
The DJ community there is like so innovative, so DIY, so build it from the ground up, so active and just like...
Non-competitive?
It's certainly competitive, but I don't know how else to explain the fact that like no one owed me anything. I'm literally a random person from New York that like just started DJing, and people just were like, hey, meet this person. They work at this magazine. Hey, look at this person. She works at Billboard. That would be great for you if you ever want to release music. Oh, also we're doing like a 90s night tomorrow. Do you want to DJ? That's how it happened. And I've seen it happen to new DJs, like baby DJs that come in now
going to say you pay it forward because mm-hmm. that's how it was given. But also that's about you, Mel. Like that's about you, you know, you showing up like, because you're a good person.
Thanks.
But I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? If you walked in, you were an asshole and you were like not likable and you were like rude and felt like you deserved something. Like,
of course,
I don't think people would have been as generous with you.
I think I had no other way to be than wide-eyed because I was so impressed with what I was seeing. I'd never seen it before. So it wasn't even like a thought. I was just so blown away. I mean, the story of how I met anyone was that I like followed one of my favorite female DJs on Twitter, and she tweeted an address that she was going to be at that evening as like sort of a coy, like, you might want to show up here. I might be DJing. I'm not going to tell you. She put like the alien emoji, which like in DJ world means like Skrillex is probably going to show up. That's like what you know. And oh, I wasn't even like a fan of Skrillex. I mean, now I am, but I knew his name and I knew that he was like so special. And I knew that everyone loved him. So I was like, oh, tonight will probably be a crazy night. I could probably like have a lot of fun at this one. So I showed up and alone and introduced myself to the photographer. And now he's my best friend, Quinn. Shout out Quinn.
Really?
Yeah. And there was like another time that same week where I heard about an event happening that was about women in music, and a friend of mine couldn't go, and I could take his like guest list spot if I went alone. So I like showed up alone at this like mid-city art house, this like who knows where I was. Like I Ubered there alone and they wouldn't let me in, and I like lied, and like then I like snuck in somehow because I said my name was someone else. And then one of my other really good friends now came up to me and was like, "You're here alone? Like, let me help you out. Let me introduce you to all my friends." And then I like got brunch with her the next day. Now she's one of my best friends, Carter. And she, which is,
and that's also generous people. I mean, people these being people kind were and generous. Just,
and it's just proven more and more throughout our friendship. Like, they're two of the most generous people I know. What are the odds that those are the people that I connected with?
Well,
that's
the people that you brought in. Yeah, because you brought those kind of people in. And also, you've been that way forever. Like, you have been the type of person that builds those kind of relationships. At least
look at us.
That's what I was going to say. Like, look at us. Like, but it's true. Like, I was thinking about when you were on your way here, I was like, it's just so interesting that we became so close because it makes so much. Now I'm like, of course we did. Like, it makes so much sense to me.
Totally.
But at the time when you were 17 and I was 18 or 19, like I didn't even know why. You know what I mean?
I know why, because we were at like a freshman party and you were so friendly. You approached my roommate and I and like, inserted your personality like into our lives, and that was the end of that.
I don't remember.
I was so scared because we were at like an upperclassman party, and you were just so sweet, and it was so rare to have an upperclassman not treat above the Woody's, freshman right. yeah above Woody's not treat the freshman like, you know,
yeah,
not give them the old haze.
But it's just crazy that it was like out of all the people.
I know. It's crazy.
That's where I ended up.
It's insane.
But you didn't know anything about the DJ world. Like, you didn't even know what those, like, what even a gig, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't know what types of gigs that even was.
It's, like, miraculous that I don't fuck it up all the time now. Because, like, I haven't had all of those years of practice that a lot of other people have had. But also, I will say, something like DJing, you can really get that down in, like, a year.
If you really put in the
time. If you really put in the time and like you're really predisposed to music.
Yeah.
Or to art or to even just like theory. You can just kind of like put in a lot of hours in a concentrated period of time and get it done. The business aspect of DJing, I would say, comes a lot slower. Like figuring out what equipment you're going to own and how you're going to rent it out, what your rates are going to be, how are you going to schedule out your like availability, and if you're going to hire MCs, or like what kind of gigs you want to do, or do you want to go to the artist route and release original music and tour that way, or do you want to do corporate, or do you want to do high fashion or editorial DJing? Like, so there's so many different markets now, facets. And I will say, like, especially being a woman, there's a lot of avenues for DJing that go beyond just like playing music.
Yeah.
It's like
you do weddings.
Right. Well, that was when I started DJing, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do weddings or bar bat mitzvahs or like birthday parties.
Those are the things that you're like, those are the things I will not do.
Yeah, because that feels like work to me.
So did it take trial and error to figure out the things you did want to do?
Yeah. It would be like, I mean, we were in the kitchen and I was telling you about the story about how I was DJing this like coffee competition. I never would have had that on the horizon for myself, but someone that did Annie, her husband has a coffee company. She reached out like, hey, you're a DJ. Can you DJ our event? And now I have another gig with them booked.
Right. So it's more about building the relationships and the trust.
It's all
with
about like the clients. And most of them I've just become friends with because they're like all close in age. And if I can't do a gig, what's great is I have a Rolodex of other DJs in my neighborhood that can do it. And like,
do you find that people recommend you on like
the absolutely. Yeah. Oh, okay. There used to be this DJ crew that I was a part of. They had all worked at the local radio station for years and they had all been sort of like collegiate friends and invited me in to their little community. And it was like a great project for a while. It's called Trip Easy. And we still have a group chat. And anytime I can't do a gig, I just put it in that group chat and someone does it. And same with like vice versa.
Yeah.
Like a dispensary just reached out to my friend and was like, hey, we really want you to DJ our event. We'll give you like a lot of free product, whatever. She couldn't do it. She texted it right to me. I couldn't do it. So I texted it right to our friend Mike. And I think he ended up doing it.
I mean, you literally started with zero. Like you moved to LA with not really any, I mean, other DJ connections necessarily.
Definitely no DJ connections. I definitely knew absolutely no one in the music industry. That's for sure.
How did you get your first, I mean, other, I'm like tempted to ask how you got your first gig. Cause I imagine that if people are thinking about doing something like that or anything, it's like,
oh my gosh,
how do you even
get
your first, you know what I mean? That's the, I feel like that's like the, at least the first step is like, how do you get the first thing?
Well, the first ever gig I got was technically my graduation from the program, but one of the students in my class that I briefly did like a DJ duo project with, cause he was like a huge go-getter and like, we really just jived. He was like, fuck it. Why are we doing our graduation at a bar? Let's do it at Webster Hall. I know a guy there. So we did it at Webster Hall, but myself and that guy were like, there's no reason we shouldn't be playing here every weekend. So the two of us did shifts at Webster Hall. So we played there weekly.
How?
Because he knew a guy that worked there.
Gotta know a guy.
He knew a guy that like worked in like the talent buying.
Yeah.
And then we started a party there. Well, called like Fruity Loops or something, something very silly. And we did it in the basement. So like all of the people that would go see the main acts would get drinks downstairs in the basement. It was called the Studio at Webster Hall.
Yeah.
It's where like all the rock bands play, but we would rig like a DJ PA. And we'd get the traffic people. So then we would make the bar so much more money because there was talent down there. There was actual music playing, not just like the house music.
Yeah.
So when that sort of expired, I don't remember why we stopped. Oh, something really tragic happened where like one of the resident DJs passed away. And that was the end of that on okay. it for us because things got really like...
Yeah, of course.
Weird. But that was like the first gig, but I wasn't
paid.
But in
LA, in a new city, right? You're in a new city. You don't know. It's like...
Well, yeah. I met through my friend Carter. She played a big show opening for these DJs, Adventure Club, who are huge like okay. EDM DJs, on the pier in New York. I came home for Christmas. She was like, I'll put you on my guest list. I was like, oh, the guest list. That's so cool. So I went alone again, met a bunch of DJs and met this guy who was like, hey, if you ever need help, I could sort of like kind of freelance manage you. So that was the start of that.
Wow.
He hooked me up with this amazing talent buyer slash producer that was going to be in South by Southwest in Austin. So I found a ride to South by Southwest. She pittily put me on a show. She's like, I've never heard this girl in my life, but I'll do a favor for your manager because I love him. So she put me on a gig there. Carter was on the same gig. We got paid like very little and it was like a bar crowd. No one was there for me.
Yeah.
People were there to like get a drink.
Yeah.
And that was my first gig. And during that week, they block off all of 6th Street. So you just meet everybody.
Yeah.
And I was just like passing out business cards and like throwing my Instagram username at everyone. And like, I think naturally that must have been what put me in the cycle to like start getting gigs.
Yeah. I think
it's kind of hazy.
But here's the other really crazy piece about you. You not only, so you came from you were a dancer. Like that's, you were like, I mean, you were a musical theater major, but like dancer first, like
definitely.
For sure.
Singer, trying. I was always like trying.
But no one, at least in my experience, and you correct me if I'm wrong, nobody had ever really done the DJ slash dancing thing in as, obviously they're associated, but no one was really doing both. Is that true?
I also was under that impression and I've done a lot of deep cut searches and there are tons of amazing, talented people that are dancers and DJs.
Cool.
It's just not very popular.
Yeah.
It's like, you're never going to be the first to do something, but can I do it and bring it more to the commercialized forefront? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely getting a lot of the work I get is because I know someone from the dance industry who like needs a DJ. So then they'll book me, or I know someone from the DJ industry that needs a choreographer. So they'll book me. So it's like, having both of those being my careers they've just helped one another.
And they work really well together.
They really do. It's like, it's always so funny when a manager of an artist or like a label head or an A&R hires me to like choreograph their artist's video, but then hires me to like DJ their EP release party. It's just like for me, that's the biggest compliment when they're not just putting me in a box and they recognize like, hey, you could do two things of service for us. You could make us money in two ways. come aboard and do both of them. That's so cool.
It's unbelievable.
It's fun to like, and then you never get bored. But the antithesis of that is if I was only plugging away at music, I probably would be a lot further along in my music career. And if I was only plugging along at choreography, I would be further along in that career. But for the time being, I'm okay with slowly growing them both.
Yeah, like we're young.
Yeah, but it's so hard to not look at these choreographers that are like touring the world.
I know.
And making like a gazillion dollars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But you have to do the thing that makes you feel like, you know.
Of course. I know. I was just talking about this the other day. It's always going to be a point of contention for between me and myself. Like, should I put choreo on hold for a second? But the truth is like, I couldn't imagine putting either of them on hold.
Really?
Yeah. No way.
Music is so embedded in your life now that it's like, this is part, that's unbelievable.
But it's like, but same with you.
Yeah.
But it also all ties into musical theater.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if I'm choreographing a musical, I am working on music.
Yeah.
My grandmother says this thing. My grandmother like went to Juilliard. My grandfather went to Juilliard. She's like a, you know, she's like a virtuoso.
Okay.
She always says like, I forget exactly what she says. My aunt reminded me of this the other day, but she said, just keep music around. Always keep music around. Like just keep including music in everything you do. And then you'll know what you're doing. Just keep it around. Like keep music around at all times like that. She was so thrilled when I found out I was doing West Side Story because she's like, yeah, sure, you're going to perform in opera houses and play one of your dream roles, but you're going to hear Leonard Bernstein 8 shows a week for like 2 years. You're just going to hear it. And it's just going to like train your ear. And it's so true.
You feel that way?
I am such a radically like annoying like musical theater head in that way. I'm like, well, I did West Side Story for 2 years. So like, I'm a more trained musician than you are. You know what I mean? Just cause like, you can't not have to count those crazy time signatures and modulations and stops and goes and stuff like that without learning something. I can't even really put my finger on what it is that I know. I just know that I hear things really like acutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's super, were you into, you were obviously a musical theater kid growing up, so you like liked musicals. I know that.
Yes, definitely.
But what other type of music were you listening to?
My sister, whatever was on my sister's iTunes. So I was listening to like, this is the scale. It was like a lot of Kanye West, which makes so much sense.
I was going
to
say.
It's a lot of like John Mayer, which also makes so much sense. So I still, those are still two of my favorite musical artists. Nothing to do with their personalities. A lot of Jason Mraz and like Jack Johnson. She loved that kind of stuff. And then also like the pop punk stuff that we all sort of went through, like Bowling for Soup, Blink 182, Sum 41. But the stuff that I loved growing up, was like Rent and Hairspray.
Yeah.
That was like my bread and butter.
You were a theater geek.
Yeah, I was definitely a theater geek. I go back to like my iTunes. And I'm like, wow. What was I doing? Sheesh.
Yeah, I know. But how did you even, I mean, because like you said this earlier, there's so many different facets of the DJ world and so many different types of music that come out of that whole sphere. Did you have to like listen to a lot of things in order to figure out the things that you're like, oh I want to make that?
Yes. Oh my God. It's been such a journey with finding my sound. Yes.
Yeah. That's what I want to talk about.
The first genre of electronic music that I fell into naturally was Jersey Club. Because first of all, I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Second of all, the people that I met initially were already fully submerged in that genre. So it was like a natural, organic transition. And I just love that type of music. It's
describe that to music to me.
So it's a subgenre of just the greater umbrella of club music, which is not like music you listen to at the club. That's not what it means. It just means that it's an underground dance music genre that like started from dance music fans, people predominantly in East Coast cities like Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New Jersey. And also typically in like inner cities and underprivileged cities and people not necessarily with them coming from the most wealth. So like really going to these clubs to like escape the streets is really like what it came from. Yeah, like Baltimore Club, Philly Club, Jersey Club, and then there's even deeper subgenres of those.
The difference now?
Absolutely, because there's formulas. Like there's a different kick pattern. You know what I mean? Like Jersey Club has like a tripled kick. It's like da da, 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 da. It's shots, LMFAO. Like, that's the cadence. Baltimore Club is definitely, there's a little bit more of like a breakbeat, like B-boy, B-girl type of drum break to it. And you can hear, when you hear it, you know what it is.
Yeah.
Same with Philly Club. You know that like there's going to be more horns involved in one of the genres, and there's going to be like a bed squeak or a water drip sample or like chopped up 90s R&B vocals being like, you know, like that, like that, like that, that, you know, like you just know the patterns. So that was like, I first was obsessed with that, listening to it all the time, making edits all the time. I just loved that genre, but I found it wasn't really like sustainable for me because I felt like I couldn't really be the spokesperson of that genre because like that wasn't my truth. Like there was a whole controversial thing that I watched happen before my eyes, which was like appropriation of these club subcultures. And, you know, it's like we're in cancel season here. So a lot of people were being canceled for like appropriating different styles of music that they can't really speak to. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to let other people do that because I respect it too much. I don't want to like
take
offend
that on.
Anybody.
Right. Yeah.
So I went through like a lot of different patterns. I like tried doing this subgenre that's called future bass. That's like really like sonic. And there's a lot of like melodic elements. It's very like pretty boy type of like music and melodies with like saws and arps. And it's very like nerdy EDM.
Okay.
It's sort of expired at this point. People, it's like a joke now.
Okay.
But it was popping for
big,
a while.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll know a future bass song when you hear one. It's like very, very palatable.
Okay.
But so then I moved around a lot, and then I was like, maybe I want to introduce vocals into my music. Maybe I want to do like synth pop. And it just took me like two and a half years, but I am making house music now, and that's just, it feels so right. And it feels like the only thing I ever could be making. And
really,
that's what the whole EP is. And I'm definitely like playing around with dipping into other genres, but it's all house. It's all like that four on the floor bass, and bass meaning like the bassist, not like actual the instrument bass. And it makes so much sense because when I really think back, house music is the first genre of electronic music that I ever fell in love with, like back in the day, like Disclosure.
Wow.
And then once I found out about Disclosure, I was like, where did this come from? And then I got into like actual like UK garage and like Chicago house and stuff from, you know, our parents' era even.
Yeah.
And now making house seems like the only way, but it's definitely going to change my trajectory of like where I perform.
Really?
Because I was usually performing at like hype Jersey Club shows or like hype open format shows. And now I'm definitely going to be changing like communities. When I put out this project, I'm going to be working to play like the house things, which I used to only dabble in, but now I'm going to try to like,
that's
dive
like
in.
Really where you're going.
But it's a whole different scene.
It's a whole different scene. Crazy.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
And I guess it's probably similar in music too. You know, that like the country scene is different than the pop scene.
Oh my God.
But also there are different facets of the pop scene.
Everybody's got their niche. But then it all, like if you do music, you know each other. But you're not going to like be in the same room with that person all the time.
Yeah.
Because everybody will be backstage at like at Coachella. Because right. We're all different. It's Travis Scott, but then it's like, you know, I don't know, FKA Twigs. So, you know, so it's all going to be related. But yeah, I'm definitely about to like venture into a new crowd.
Can you talk about the process of finding your own sound? Because I feel like it's similar to the conversation about like, you know, finding your, I mean, like you said, like figuring out what your niche is, because you have to know what makes you, I mean, especially in music, you have to be unique. You have to like that. That's the whole thing, is what makes you different from everybody else. Another person that's kind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, I just feel like that's hard.
It's so hard.
And something that I'm navigating is like, you know what I mean?
Especially if you're still learning like the technicalities of actually executing music making. Because I'm such, I'm new to DJing, but boy, am I new to music production. That's a whole other language.
Right.
That's like picking up Premiere for the first time and being like, okay, how do I edit a clip? You know?
Yep.
Just starting from square one, Rosetta Stone, you know?
Literally.
And so I had a lot of difficulty learning because it's very difficult, and it's, you have to be, I give it up to music producers because production's very detailed and it's very hard. And you've got to have like a real knack for it. You've got to be a smart person. Because it's very scientific. It's like we're dealing with like waveforms and audio frequencies. And it's really like sound design. It's like audio engineering, music production is.
Yeah.
But so I had an idea for like a specific body of work I wanted to create, which has become this EP that I'm about to release. And in order to like get the point across of what I was trying to say, it sort of had to be house music. So I was sort of like forced into that. But as soon as I started working on it, I was like, oh, right, this is good. Everything's going to flow from here.
House music. Are you singing? Is there singing on it?
There's like vocal ad-libbing. Okay. But it's definitely not very melodic. I definitely recorded a lot of vocals that have been on the cutting room floor.
You're like, yeah, it doesn't need it.
I've like written a lot of vocals, but it doesn't do it anything. It doesn't do anything for the music, for like the specific tracks that I have produced. It's not going to work. But maybe in the future, for sure. People always assume that I'm a vocalist and not a DJ. They're like, really? Oh, you're in music, so you sing. Because I think it's like maybe the branding of it or something.
Yeah.
But also it's like that archaic, you're a girl, so obviously you're not a DJ type of thing.
Yeah. Has that been a thing?
Oh my God. Yeah. Totally. Not in LA because it's like everybody gets it there. It's like music capital of, you know, definitely the country.
Yeah, for sure.
So people are past that. And I think it's better now. But when I first moved to LA, like if I ever went on a podcast or like had an interview or something, it's like, what's it like being a female DJ? You know, with keyword, the word female in the front. It's like, well, I'm not a female DJ. I'm just a DJ.
You're like, I'm just there are a lot. It's like, yeah, I'm glad that the industry is not the way that it was, that it's shifted a little bit.
It definitely has, especially like with the whole Hillary thing, bringing that idea to the forefront about, you know, women can too type of thing. Thank goodness that like everybody got that out of their system.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought that was a given. I hate that we're even talking about it, but it's really great that we did, you know, chop it up and bring that to the surface so that people can kind of like shut up about it.
You like choreographing still?
Definitely. So hard, but I definitely love it. Like it, I go through those six stages of like, self-hatred, panic, I can't do this, my work is horrible, okay, fine, maybe it's okay, all right, it's fine type of thing. Every time I like go into the studio to create something, it's always like, this is gonna be horrible.
Only for dance you feel that way?
No, for everything.
Music too?
Yeah, music too, but it's a different flow.
What does that mean?
Because movement is physical. So you're staring at yourself in the mirror and like just these things flood up. You can get lost in creating music because it's like your headphones and your laptop most of the time. And like you're on a flight or something and you're just getting lost in like sonic waves. But with the movement, it's like it boils down to a very personal thing. But I'm really finding like solace in choreographing on others. It's like, it's definitely an escape. It's such a joy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's really great to set your movement on other people and adapt it to their specific movement quality and tailor it to them. Like you're tailoring, you know, a piece of clothing or something.
Yeah, it just is. I'm glad you're still doing theater choreographing too.
I like want to be doing it so much more.
Because even that is like, and you tell me if I'm wrong, more than film, that's about like pictures and
yes.
like formations.
Theater choreography is what I want to do more so than commercial choreography. I just get more commercialized work because I live in LA.
And it pays more sometimes?
It actually sometimes does, but it doesn't always.
Okay.
When I like see these budgets for regional theater gigs for the choreographer, I'm like, why is the actor making 20 times less than that? Like, this rate is lit. Why didn't I do this a long time ago?
Yeah, it's
and you pay me when my job is done? Like when the show happens like, and I'm not even there.
Thank you so much.
That's crazy.
But theater is the thing you love.
Yeah, I just want to sink my teeth into theatrical choreography more than ever. But I think it's just because I got a taste of a big project, but it was 10 days. So, you know, it was just like a tease.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to do more work in theater, and I'm actively trying every day. Like I am sending my reel and my resume to like every single West Coast theater. I've like gotten in touch with every like artistic director.
Wow.
And I'm like trying to sit down with every single, you know, director
you
and artistic
cold
director.
Emails?
All the time. Like probably one a day.
What? For in general or like just for theater?
In general.
Okay.
Or like a cold DM even.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was just having a conversation with Eamon and I was like, you know, how could I want to work in this specific market. I was talking about something specific I wanted to do. He was like, what about this guy? And I was like, well, I don't know him, do you? He's like, no. I was like, all right, well, let's try to find his email. Found his email.
It's not that hard to find people's emails.
Yeah, it's really not. It's so not, especially like, it's in Instagram now sometimes. But it's really hard to like get a relationship with a theater if you don't know anyone there.
Yeah.
Because there's no familiar territory, but I've been finding common ground. I've been like really reaching, but I'm like, actually my roommate just did this tour with your old boss. Like we know each other.
Yeah. You're right. Come on. We're connected.
I'm like trying to really find some stuff, but the more like I've been showing up to a lot of opening nights and just introducing myself to the artistic director by asking like, who's the artistic director here? And, that even, if that can even lead to sitting down for a coffee, like then I've
That's
done
a win.
My job.
That's
yeah.
a win. Are you wanting to dance still?
Not really. It's so weird. It's so weird because it's like my first love, but I'm not really taking work as a dancer because I think
that
it's
was
gonna,
my question. Are you taking work as a dancer?
Take away yeah. from my jobs as a choreographer. And I'm definitely not showing up to auditions because I don't think I'll be taken seriously as a choreographer. And I know that's also a bold statement, but I see that for myself.
Yeah.
Like for my specific thing that I have going on, I don't want to put myself in a position to be like rejected by another choreographer if I'm going to want to hire their dancers. And I love dancing when I'm choreographing it, not because I love my choreography, but because it's comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's familiar and I can control it. It's dancing for someone else's piece is like a guilty pleasure. It's like something that feels yeah. so good. I'm always in bliss when I'm doing it, but I have to keep it sparse in order for like me to achieve the main goal.
Right. Let's just say, you know, choreographing and DJing are sort of the two main things that you're focused on. Is that, what did you say that's true?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if that's true.
Choreographing and DJing slash like music.
Just music. Okay. So choreographing and music, let's just say. How are you balancing your time? Because I think for somebody like me who is similar in that I'm sometimes performing, but I'm sometimes doing video stuff, but I'm sometimes hosting and sometimes writing music, like it's hard for people, I think, to find balance.
Definitely.
And
I
so
see that.
How do you navigate that?
The marriage has been like really cohesive. The balance is easy because it sort of lends itself to different types of commitments and different times of the day. Like if I have a really busy week, something that it would look like would be like emails for the first couple hours, go to the dance studio and prep some choreography and take some notes and, you know, conceptualize some pictures. Have a rehearsal with my dancers for the shoot that's coming up next week for like a campaign. Eat some food, you know, cook, clean, and then go DJ like a 5-hour gig and then come back. Because it's rare that I'm DJing during the day. That would be like maybe like a barbecue on a Sunday, but mm-hmm.
But most of the DJ gigs are at night.
Most of the DJ gigs are at night. And certainly all of the shows are at night. Like if I'm like doing something with like the Penny Pad or like doing like a,
yeah.
doing like a actual, like I'm playing my own music type of show.
Is the Penny Pad still a thing? I'm sorry.
It's definitely like still something that I'm working on. It's just like finding out what the next steps are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to focus on getting the music out so that I can like use it as a performance tool.
Cool.
Cause I keep thinking to myself, like, sure, I can get this product off the ground, but like, I want it to help my career. It's not going to help my career until I like finally put this music out. So
for people that are listening that don't know what a penny pad is, would you mind explaining what a penny pad is?
Sure. It's a MIDI controller that is powered by your feet. So it marries choreography to music production.
It looks a lot like
a DDR dance pad.
Right.
But the design has definitely shifted.
Yeah.
To more of like a, you know, triangle or like diamond sort of shape thing. But yeah, the prototype is a is a glorified DDR dance pad that was just rigged through Max to use with Ableton Live. But that's just because I don't have like a product designer or like a specialist in like materials, right, physical yeah. materials. So right. I wasn't about to start like creating laminate. You know what I mean? Like yes. I don't have a workshop, so yeah, I
right.
couldn't do that. But it was, it ended up being the perfect host for it, because it's just like one-to-one, really easy to adjust with like the open source software that we used.
It's amazing.
I wish that I spent more time on it. It stresses me out to think about it, because I'm like, I got to get on this, but it's not a rush at the end of the day.
No. And especially like you said, if the music is sort of the thing that's driving, letting that be the part of the vehicle that you know, gets
and
there.
And it just like put my name on the map for more DJs. Like I started just getting more, like I'd be in a green room and I'd meet like a big DJ and I'd say something like, oh yeah, like you're great. And they're like, what's your name? I'm like, Penny. They're like, oh yeah, you did that DDR thing, right? And I'm like, oh.
Wow. People really cool. knew. People really saw it.
Yeah. I mean, because the DJ community actually is really small. Like the DJs themselves. It got passed around like Twitter.
It's like
the theater
community. It's like it's
exactly. Yeah. It's like if someone, what would be like a musical theater viral video? Someone just like singing a crazy thing or doing a parody or something. Yeah. I'm like looking at you and I'm like, oh, so your stuff. But like you've had similar experiences. I know you have.
Yeah.
You're meeting like someone that you like,
oh, you did that Broadway. Yeah, you did that. You did the thing with the bros. You
that's got, crazy.
I'm like, uh-huh.
That's crazy. Because you're like, wow, I have seen you perform since I was 10.
Or yeah, people around the red carpet are like, oh, I know. Oh, I know what you do.
That's exactly like, what it would like, be.
Oh, okay.
That's like you're the guy at the openings yeah. type of thing. Absolutely. Like I've had friends that have said that about you. Oh yeah, that guy who does the playbill.com or whatever.
Right, I took the words out of my mouth. They're like, they just say some outlet. They're like, oh yeah, you know, the Broadway world. Yeah.
And it's not even
I'm
correct.
Like, I'm like, ah, sure, why not? It's fine. Whatever.
Oh my
I don't
gosh.
Care.
So funny.
It's fine. It's nice that anyone it's nice that anybody recognizes me. It's fine.
To be frank. Oh, that's so funny.
That's interesting.
But yeah, that's an exact
yeah,
comparison.
Wow.
So that's cool just to be a little bit more like notarized or like respected.
Yeah.
Cause I haven't put out like the record of the year, but at least I contributed in my own little way.
Right.
Doing what I could, you know, yeah. I had to make strides somehow. And I like couldn't crank out music that fast. Like I gained a little bit of relevancy moving to LA just cause like when someone knew it, there's always like attention there, but I had nothing to show for it. I'm like, I can DJ, but so can all of you.
Yeah.
My music is not impressive yet.
Yet.
But like, oh my gosh, I want to like dance while I make music. So I'll do that. And that will like maybe show that I'm...
It'll differentiate me
yeah,
in some way.
Show that I'm not just like a button pusher.
Yeah. How do you feel about the state of the music industry?
I'm not really sure how to feel. I'm really excited in certain aspects. And I'm also really discouraged in other aspects. Like I'm not a crazy fan on like where hip hop is right now.
Okay.
Mumble rap is just like not, I love conscious rap, but, and I sound so white right now. I really can't even deal with it. But yeah, I'm just like Lil Pump, Lil Yachty. They do nothing for me.
Yeah.
Like I get hype and I don't worry. I play that at all of your favorite parties. Absolutely. Cause nothing gets people more hype. Like I'm not going to take that away from people. And then there's people like Travis Scott who are taking that and flipping it and doing it like in a genius way. And I love that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of noise in the background on the charts in the meantime. Even someone like Post Malone, I normally wouldn't like someone that sort of has his sound, but he's so talented and makes like incredible music and writes really great melodies. So like, sure, go listen to Post Malone. I'm not mad. But like I said, like Lil Xan and like all those people. And maybe I'm missing it. Like I might just be completely missing the point. And I will give people that, sure. Maybe I haven't done enough. Like, I remember when I wasn't so sure about specific rappers, and then I did my research, and I was like, I completely missed their stroke of genius and went over my head.
Right.
You know? So, who knows?
It seems like an interesting time, because there really is... It's weird to say is that, like, there is no more barrier to entry, and I don't like saying that, because I still feel like there is... a certain level, like, I don't know, anybody can release anything on Spotify now or SoundCloud.
It's more independent than ever. Because Spotify completely opened up their artists division.
Yeah.
And made artist support like seamless now. They also completely removed like having to have any sort of badge of following to get your profile verified or to like edit your specs, your info. Like,
oh, really?
Anybody can just like go in there and create a profile and like release music and it look just as good as it looks for every other artist.
Yeah, I mean, the podcast, I can, even that, yeah. It's really pretty
seamless.
It's
like so open source now, which is so great. Thank goodness.
Yeah, because I feel like it gives, it just...
But all things considered, like rights are a huge deal, but that's good. Mm-hmm. Like you can't sample a Busta Rhymes song and not pay him for it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely not.
They'll find it.
They'll totally, they won't upload it.
Wow.
Because I mean, why do you think it takes like 2 weeks to upload? You know, they've got to do all these clearings and stuff.
Interesting.
Because you do have to go through a third party distributor. You can't just upload to Spotify.
No, you have to go through like one of those
TuneCore
apps.
Or
one of those things. Are you still doing those Wild One, those Wild
Yeah,
Wednesdays?
They're definitely way more few, far, and in between. They're more like rarities now. Okay. And I was like, why do I not do them as much? And I was like, oh yeah, well, the reason I did them in the first place was to get work, actual work that would pay me. And now that's what I'm busy doing.
Did it work?
Yeah. Like, I mean, not right away.
High five. Because I remember those conversations at the very beginning before you had even started doing it.
Right. Because I had a friend that did something called Freestyle Fridays. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's amazing. Giving yourself accountability.
To show up once a week.
I mean, that was a huge conversation with us because you did the same thing in a different way.
Yeah.
Because you got to like force yourself to make something happen.
You don't have a choice.
And now I would love to be doing those, but that costs money for me.
Yeah.
And
you're working.
And I'm working. I don't have time, but like I'm shooting one this week and I shot one last time I was in New York and I'm posting a new one that I shot in LA on Wednesday. So like, I'm definitely picking it back up, but, it's hard to justify spending the money.
Yeah. But initially though, you
didn't spend money because the quality was like,
yeah, but you did whatever
I did what I could.
Right. Because you were like, I have to put something out and it got you work.
Slowly but surely. Like, it happens that it says you don't realize that it's happening, but then you look back and you're like, oh yeah, I was not choreographing music videos a year ago, you know?
And because I was putting those out, people saw that I was choreographing and dancing and
I felt like I tricked people who like follow like people like DJs that like don't follow dancers because they don't know them.
Yeah.
All the dancing they see on their timeline is me. So when they need a dancer, they're like, oh, I should hit up Penny. Even if I'm not like the best one for the job, I'm just the one that they know.
You're preaching to me. That's how I feel about with video. Is that like people don't see any of that on their timeline, you know, and then all of a sudden they see my stuff. And so immediately
videographer.
Right. They're like, oh, you do that. Which is like really nice.
And I'm like, I'll take it.
If you're paying.
you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, that's so interesting.
It's funny. That's why I feel like I'm like doing a number on people. Cause I'm like, really, if you wanted someone to do this, you'd hire this person, but I will do it.
I'll do it. But I love the idea that you're like, I just kind of like faked people.
Absolutely. Well, like all of my DJ friends are so sweet and so cute. Cause they're like, I love your dance videos. Your dance videos are amazing. Like the camera work is always so good. The locations are always so good. And I'm like, well, you want to see who I learned from? I'm going to blow your mind if I show you these people.
Oh my God.
They're like, what? Yeah.
Are you still like paying attention to the dance world on YouTube?
More than ever.
Really?
Yeah. It like haunts me. Keeps me up at night. Yeah, absolutely. One of my really good friends in LA is like the king and is like just such a champion of that world. So I'm definitely like always around it with him. Mm-hmm. And I also like used to be his roommate. So I'm always in the know about who he's hiring and what tour he's on and, you know, what artist he's going to try to choreograph for and like taking some notes.
Yeah.
He's just like he's like slaying. It's insane.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
Me?
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in a year.
Right.
Maybe.
I don't even remember when the last time. It was definitely.
It's been so long. It's been a long time.
Do you feel like. Ugh. I don't know. There's so many things. You're doing so many different things. You've done so many different things. I'm just curious to know, like, how you're feeling about where you're at.
unsatisfied, but that's just like a given. I'm just going to say that first because...
As a baseline.
Yeah, because I think that's what I'll always say.
I know, right? Oh, God.
But I've honestly accepted that at this point.
Yeah.
Like, not when I'm in the middle of an anxiety attack, but just like on speaking as an outsider, like observing my trajectory, I think I'm just always going to say that, but I don't think that that's uncommon.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So
either.
Unsatisfied to begin, but that's not, doesn't have to be dark.
No.
Where I'm at, I'm proud of myself for getting to the point where like the EP is almost ready to be put out. I'm really excited to focus all of 2019 about like performing that album, performing the EP, promoting the EP, publishing the EP, creating visuals to the EP, getting more tour dates in the books to promote the, like, I'm really excited to finally
have
promote
a thing.
Something
yeah, yeah, yeah.
about my music. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like,
cause making music takes a long time.
Yeah.
Talk about not finishing things. The amount of things I haven't finished, you know? So I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited with the gigs that will come along with that. But then I'm also excited about this new chapter in my choreography career, because like I said, I am actually really focusing on theater. And one of my goals is definitely going to be to choreograph like one or two or three, like big girl equity theater productions. And I think I'm finally in the place where like, I won't be laughed out of a room. And I think I'm finally in the place where like, I'm definitely being considered. I'm just not always getting it.
Right.
And I'm definitely assisting some amazing projects.
Yeah.
But, definitely excited about those two things. And I think maybe I just kind of need to focus on those two instead of like also pledging to read 10 books and like watch a documentary every week or like,
yeah.
I have these unrealistic, weird, neurotic goals that I like set for myself.
Really?
And I think this year my goal list will be like, I'll cut it in half. I think I'm just going to do like, hey, put this EP out and promote it good. Start the next EP.
Yeah.
And like, you know, take it from there. You're a busy man.
Not
and
you're really.
Getting hit up. I want everyone that's listening to know that that Matt has received like 5 phone calls during the duration of
my
this
brother,
hour.
My brother, my
regards.
I'm doing very, oh my God, how dare you drop a regards.
Regards.
About my brother. Last but certainly not least, since moving to LA or really since leaving school, like what are you learning about yourself? Is what I'm really interested in knowing.
I have learned that spending time alone is okay and not working all the time is okay. And taking time to invest in like your mental health and physical health are really powerful and important. And I also learned to like, keep your mouth shut and just kind of like just mind your own business, you know? That's what I've learned.
That's a really, really great piece of advice. Just, you know, mind your own business.
Even if like you truly believe in your heart of hearts that like everybody should know all of the jewels about you in your life, even when they come from the purest intentions, it's like a doghouse in that city and you just got to be careful.
In LA.
Yeah.
I mean, here too.
I've just been so ignorant to like so many things. And then I'm like,
well,
oh my
you're
God,
so friendly.
I just got fucked over hard. Like, and I was just trying to do the right thing. Yeah. Crazy.
So just like, keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut, guys. Up to the ones at home. And eat your vegetables. Go to yoga.
I have so much love for you. I am just.
It's abundant for
it's,
you.
It's so cool. It's really cool for me to think about where we'll be in 2, 5, 10, 15, 20. Like, it's just wild to me.
It is insane.
Penny wild.
Some would say penny wild. I can't wait to see you again. And I've been wanting to do this with you. So glad that you brought that up.
You are.
I listen to these, so.
Bullshit.
No, I really do. I have friends that listen to these.
No way.
Yeah, no, I do.
Well, that's great. I'm thrilled. I mean, I appreciate that.
Why else would you do that?
I don't know. But here's what I'll say. And you know, and this is 100% true. You are more than welcome to come on here anytime you want. I would love
appreciate
to figure
that.
Out some kind of way to incorporate like how we could do something with music on here.
Start a thread. Let's get the emails going.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know what it would look like because I don't know if anybody's ever done anything like that. But I don't know.
There's totally something there.
There's got to be something there, right?
Absolutely.
We'll talk about it.
I know we will.
I love you so much.
I love you more. Seriously. I'm so proud of you.
Well, I'm proud of you.
And your home and...
Yeah, you slept all the way out to Brooklyn.
And your relationship and you're just... You're really... hashtag goals.
That's how I feel about you. No, I'm like, yeah, you look from the outside. I'm like, you're hashtag goals.
Oh my gosh, Jesus. I'm the girl who left her phone in yellow taxi last night and somehow got it back.